Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
And this came so strongly to me that one of the things that you really need in life to move on, to get into places, is hearing the voice of God as a child of God. Primary and very important. In all situations, as far as life is concerned, of all these journeys that are made, I begin to see how God's word is working out every now and then, every moment. My life today is completely factored in the fact that God spoke certain things to me years back, and every day I see them come to pass on a regular basis. So it's important you hear the word and stay with what God has to say about your life. And like I'm going to mention, you have to understand the principle of set time. When God speaks a word to you, there's always a time for that word to be fulfilled. You don't force it to come to fruition. But the key point is you got to hear the word and know exactly what God is saying. And then you walk on with God. And then it brings the word to pass. So we take our main text from John 10 verse 27. I'm going to do a full study on hearing the voice of God after now. So this is like a prelude to that. John 10 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Can I hear an amen to that? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And that word is strong. That word is strong, and I want you to meditate on that. That is why death is far from you. You can't be afraid of the devil when you are a child of God. You can't be afraid of witches when you are a child of God. God said, all that belongs to me, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. No man. No man. You need to take that to the bank and insure it. No power, devil, witch, wizard, whatever name, neither shall any man put anybody there. Neither shall any man. He said, I give them eternal life, not temporary life. Life that cannot be revoked. I give them eternal life. Those who hear me. Life that cannot be revoked. Life that is not temporal. Permanent eternal life is what I give to them. Those who can hear my voice. And no man, that's the boast. Jesus is boasting and he's saying it. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. No man. You can be a Christian and be afraid of the devil. You can be a Christian and be afraid of witches and wizards. You can't. All because you've not heard the voice of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, when you start hearing the voice, it gives you control. Like I was talking about this plain thing. You know, just holding the control yoke. The thing was going on its own. And the voice kept telling me which way to go, you know, as I was piloting the plane. No man. That means there is somebody behind at the control tower telling me what to do. Even so, when you hear the voice, it controls you. It leads you. It directs you. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. If you know who God is, then you must rest when you are sleeping. That no devil is able. Hallelujah. No power is able. See, while I was there in the States, you know, before I traveled the other month, I was terribly down. Remember that? And so I was meditating one night and praying. And the Lord reminded me. He said, do you know why you were sick? And what really brought that was, I saw a little video clip. A scientist took a part of banana that was blood, the part that was bad, just scoop it, put it under microscope, and was watching it, and I was looking at it, and I see a lot of maggot and, you know, germs, whatever, kite. I said, come on, can this thing be? But we chew this thing like that without thinking about it. And the Lord reminded me, do you know why you were sick? I said, no. You poisoned yourself. What happened? Over there, I bought sour sharp. My wife cannot remember. I never told her this story. I bought sour sharp from that place. Part of the sour sharp was bad. But I didn't mind. I blended it together and drank it. So I introduced germs into my system. And the doctor said, they can't see anything except that I have chest infection. How many of you remember that? It was in the devil. It was wrong feeding. The Lord reminded me, after I watched that little clips and I was praying, and he said, do you know why you were sick? This is the reason. Now I can remember. Now, I'm avoiding that shop. I don't go there to buy anything anymore. Praise the Lord. So you see, no man. But you see, when such things begin to happen, your mind will be flying. Oh, somebody is after my life. A witch is after my life. The devil is after me. They want to kill me. No man. That's what the word says. Just mind what you eat. If I may use that word now. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Jesus is boasting. Now even look at that. Who will experience this? Let's analyze this statement from here. He said, my sheep, for you to come to that place, you have to be a sheep in the first place. Number one, my sheep, hear my voice. That means you must belong to him. For you to come to this experience, for you to benefit from this experience of no man being able to pluck you out of his hand, you have to belong to him. So the question you first ask yourself, are you a sheep? Not just the experience of being protected, but the experience of even hearing his voice. You can't be a child of God and you don't hear God directing you even in what you do. You can't. Praise the living God. My sheep, not some other person's sheep. So the question is, whose sheep are you? You have to answer that question. Oh, I belong to Jesus. Okay, how many times has he communicated to you? How many times has he spoken to you? Because my sheep hear my voice. Hallelujah. Number two, every sheep listen to the shepherd. Every sheep listen to the shepherd. You got to understand that. Listening to Jesus. Anytime, anywhere, whatever situation, you got to listen. Praise God. Amen. My sheep hear my voice. You belong to him. Number two, you must be a good listener to the voice of the Lord. Anytime, anywhere. It keeps your life. When you come to that place of knowing that you belong to him and listening and hearing him, then what we said before, no man is able to pluck you out of his hand. For I give to them eternal life, not temporary life. Do you understand that? Then the next thing you find there is, they know his voice. Every sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every sheep know the voice of the shepherd. There was an experiment conducted in Israel. It's like a visitor came in, met with the shepherd, and then they were just by the gate, the pen, as it were. And then the shepherd spoke to the stranger or the tourist and said, do you know my sheep hears me and they listen to me? And the Bible said the voice of a stranger they will not hear. So now, I give you the opportunity. Whatever thing you think you can do for the sheep to come and you do it. The man tried whatever thing, nothing happened. So the shepherd just came forth and blew a whistle with a song. All the sheep started running out. Every one of them started running out. The sheep hear my voice. They know me. And the voice of stranger, they will not follow. Hallelujah. That means if you are truly a sheep of Christ, you're going to have a personal intimacy. See, if my wife speaks now, I will understand. If I speak, she will know. If somebody calls me on the phone, I should be able to know who is calling. Those I'm intimate with. Are you following what I'm saying here? How intimate are you with Jesus so that you can recognize his voice when he's talking? And when he said the voice of stranger, they will not hear. That means there are many strangers all over the place who want to talk to you. And most of them confuses you because you don't understand what Jesus had in mind for you. So when you start hearing voices that you're about to die, your marriage is about to collapse, your business is about to fall, you're going to fall sick soon, those are voices of strangers. Hallelujah. They're not the voice of the Lord. They're not coming from Christ. You have to understand that. Praise God. We have received the divine nature of God. You must understand who is your shepherd. We must understand who has given birth to you. Hallelujah. Are we here? So, what was I trying to say? Know his voice. Know who gave birth to you. Know where you belong. Know your family. A soul that is born of the Spirit of God. Praise the living God. Are we still here? You need to come to this understanding so that your faith will rest in the Word of God. And it's critical for us to examine what I'm looking at now, because there is so much fear in the heart of people, so much doubt in the heart of people. I'm not convinced so many Christians actually know or believe that they are born again. The emphasis is no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. And I love that. It is a no man. Hallelujah. Know his voice, like I said. Then number four, follow him. Number four is what? Follow him. You know what he said there? It tells us precisely that my sheep hear my voice, they follow me, and the voice of stranger they will not hear. You need to follow him. If you're following Jesus, you can't follow some other person's heads. And Francis was trying to say something. Pastor Francis said something very unique on Friday, I think. It was a Wednesday. You're talking about following. You know what it means to follow somebody? If you're following anybody, he dictates your life. You give up everything. Hallelujah. In Matthew 19, the disciples went, Peter in particular, asked Jesus a question. What's going to be our reward for following you? We've left everything, forsaken everything. What's going to be our reward? And Jesus said, listen to me. In the regeneration, when I sit on my throne, you also shall sit on the third tribe of throne, judging the tribe of Israel. You have a reward for following. My sheep hear my voice, the voice of stranger they will not hear, they know me, and I know that, and the voice of stranger they will not follow. They follow me. Who are you following? Praise God. They know me and I know them. They follow me. And by reason of that, no power is able to pluck them out of my hand. No power, no spirit, no devil, nothing is able to pluck them out of my hand. If you have conviction the devil is going to kill you tomorrow, it simply means you are not the follower of Jesus. You know I have to say that? Because you are trying to tell me by implication that the devil is stronger than Jesus, who has plucked you to himself. Praise God. What are the rewards, like we find in verse number 2, for following him? He gives them eternal life. Not temporary life. Eternal life he gives to them. Amen. John 5 verse 24. Go with me. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John chapter 5, verse 24, he that heareth my words, hallelujah, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Can I hear an amen? You pass from death unto life. And one of those things, come back toward us. One of those things, you see, anytime you read about death, the first thing that comes to your mind is, you die in the grave, go to the cemetery, put in a coffin. That's not what it means. Even if you extend that, no problem. It simply also means that even if you are put in a coffin and buried, you're going to still come up on the other side. You have eternal life. The life starts from here down to the other side. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, we're talking about coffin now. Things are changing very fast. A friend of mine was asking the question, what is going on? That people are paying so much money for cemetery, you know, to bury people, because cemetery people have upgraded after everything has gone up, so the poacher have also upgraded. So I'm going to pay so much to upgrade. A friend of mine was asking the question. I said, man, people are upgrading. I went to the funeral service in the U.S. last 2 weeks. We finished the service and we walked out, and I was asking the friend that took me down to the funeral service, because the person said, we have a funeral service today, I would like you to join me. So we went to the service. Finished the service and I asked the question, when are we going for the interment and all that? He said, no, the service is finished. I said, what do you mean? He said, they cremated the guy. The guy said they shouldn't buy anything. How are you going to spend $5,000 to buy a portion of a cemetery? And then burn him up. So they cremated him, put him in. See that little thing the guy was carrying? That's the ashes of the guy. The guy is gone. Cremation. And it's rising fast. And some having gone to the point of, okay, you just cremate me. Or the relation, they take the ashes to some other shop. They turn the ashes to rings, diamond rings from the coal. Put the ring so you don't lose your father. Your father is in your hand. Praise God. Now what am I trying to say? Things are skyrocketing, but I'm trying to make you understand. Jesus said, I'm giving you what? Eternal life. You follow me, you get eternal life. Look at that. They that can hear my word and keep my commandments, what are you going to get? Eternal life. You will not come into condemnation. You pass from death unto life. What death? The dead start from Genesis 3. The day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. And one of the principles of death is hatred. John have to say that in the book of 1 John. Right? He that hated not his brother is passed from death unto what? Unto life. Because we love our brothers. If you can't love human being, you are still living in death. You are still living in the realm of the death of Adam. That it produced in the garden. The thing that separates you from that death is the spirit of love. For God is love, and in him is no darkness at all. Darkness speaks of death. Are you listening to me? And Jesus said, once you can hear my voice. How many, I told you that before. How did man die? He died listening to somebody. How are you going to come out of death? You must listen to somebody. That's all. The day you eat of this tree, and then the serpent came and communicated unto Eve and said, come on, this tree will make you wise and not die. They listened to somebody and they ate and they became naked. Remember that. And I've already told you that. What is nakedness? Nakedness have nothing to do because you don't put clothes on. We have the Goma people. They don't wear clothes. They use leaves and all that. They are still good people, good fellows. They share the love of God in their life. Goma people. Remember that. How many of you heard about that in missions? To be naked means you lost the glory of God. You find out in Exodus 32. Remember that. When Aaron made the golden calf for the children of Israel. And when they came down, the Bible said, you have made, Moses said, you've made the children of Israel to be naked before their enemy. No protection. That's what nakedness means. So I told you before, when Adam and Eve became naked, they saw fig leaf. What's fig leaf? They got religion. They wanted to cover themselves by religion. You can be a child of God. I mean, in church, just being religious without the glory and the covering of God. And so Adam and Eve, what were they doing? They looked for fig leaves. And that, I told you before, that's why Jesus had to cause the fig leaf. Remember that? the fig tree. When he wanted fruit from the fig tree, they could not produce. Remember, it was not time for figs. So Jesus was not schizophrenic, was not a madman. Why would he cause a tree when it was not time to produce? But that tree was the house of Judah. It was religion. Jeremiah 24. And God said, no man will partake of Judaism anymore. That's what Jesus did. Because then he was going to the cross. That's why he caused the fig tree. From the root, from the foundation. Hallelujah. And so God said here, you pile from death unto life. That means what flows in your life right now is nothing but what? Love. That is why the fruit of the Spirit is love, not I. Galatians 5, remember that? 22. The fruit of the Spirit is. Did you get that? But when you read from verse 19, it said, the works of the flesh, many works. But when it comes to the Spirit, one fruit. But yet, you have meekness, gentleness, forgiveness, temperament. There in one, all of those things are found in one fruit, which is called love. That's what the Bible says. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And God is love. The man that follows my instruction have power from death unto life. And life speaks of love. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. Are you getting this? Go to verse number 25. Whew. Remember, I'm dealing with the voice of life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, assuredly, the hour is coming and now it is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall do what? They shall live. You have life hearing his voice. Life in all situations. In all bad situations, you have life. In the most terrible situation like we are experiencing in this country, there's life. Just hearing his voice. Hallelujah. The verse 26 is what I love most. For as a father had life in himself, so has he given life to the son to have life where? In himself. Life is within. It's not outside of you. Now the life is communicated to you through the voice. That is why the voice of life. So Jesus said, yeah, God have life in himself. Now God does not look for external things to sustain himself or to live. Jesus came and said, I have the same life that God has. The life is within me. What do you think he will give to you in return? The same life. And where is that life supposed to be? Within you. So you ought to understand that you have life within you that cannot be destroyed, but I keep on pushing forward. For the way of the righteous is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. The life within you cannot be quenched by any power. You must trust this light. You must trust the life that God has given to you. Amen. That's why, you see, one or two persons have asked me a question. In fact, I went to somewhere to fellowship. And I was about to pray for the people. They brought this big Goya olive oil. And she used her to pray for the people. I asked the question, what for? Goya oil you can buy from the market. It's not the life of God. Amen. It's not the life of God. The life is within. They shall lay hands on the sick. He didn't say they shall pour oil. They shall lay hands on the sick. Somebody said, what about James? James was using it for medical treatment. That's why the person that fall on the road by the thieves, remember that, they rubbed him with oil. It was medical. It was for treatment, not for prayers. Oil doesn't save. Is God that saves, and the life that saves is within you. They shall lay hands on the sick. Life flow from the hand, not from oil. Hallelujah. So it's about people are getting result. Sure. You can get result with anything. That's why they apply salt, they get result. They apply pepper, they get results. Anything you apply, you get results. It's your belief. But that doesn't make it Bible. That doesn't make it doctrine. You take your mold out of the... How many of you remember? Even wood, carve your wood, put it on an idol. You're going to get results there. Am I correct? You see spirit manifesting from the idol. It's your belief. To them that believe, all things are possible, isn't it? Right. Praise the living God. This life is within you. You got to trust that life. Huh? Some of us go by prayer shawl, put it on the neck, forgot to answer your prayer. What do you mean? Cloth, piece of cloth that you brought from Israel. That will make God answer your prayers? Come on. Stop deceiving yourself. Praise the living God. You need to cover your head to pray. Get a blanket. You don't need to go get a shawl from Israel. Come on. Cloth is cloth, isn't it? Oh, no. You know, you can make that thing even more supernaturally glorious. Take a blanket, lift it up to God and say, God, I pray your glory come up in this cloth from today. And that's all. Begin to use it. You don't need to wait until you go to Israel to get a prayer shawl, or some people to make business out of you, bring you prayer shawl for you to buy, for you to be able to pray to your God. Nonsense. The life is within. Praise God. Say, as the Father had life in himself, self-sustaining. Oh, glory. He was self-sustaining. He had everything within himself. Nothing can move him. Nothing can change him. He deposited the same life in who? In Jesus Christ. Nothing can move him. Nothing can change him. And by the time he leaves, he gives you the same life. Then now you live by the life that's within you. Can I hear an amen? That's why you can lay hands on your business door. Go to your business, lay hands, and say, you got to expand from this dimension. Impact life. Because the life is within you. Amen. I remember, blessed memory, Franklin Hall. One time they bought a piece of land, I think in Arizona. And then, right there, they had a tree cut off. Tree was already dying. The stump was just left, but was already dying. And they went there and they said, now we need some fruit from this tree. So they lay hands on the stump of the tree that was already decaying. Say, you must produce. Bring life. That tree grew up to become like a shrub. Instead of growing tall the way it used to be, it's like a dwarf tree, but fruit start coming out of it at the appointed time. They impacted life to a dead stump, and life came out of it. The life is within you. As the Father had life, so has he given to the Son to do what? To have life within him. And he said, hey, listen to me. I have life within me. No man can take it from me. I can lay down my life and take it again. How many of you understand that? So nobody has power over your life. In fact, when people tell you somebody is after your destiny, somebody is holding your destiny, it's a deception. No man has access to your destiny. Oh, come on. I tell you that 100 times. No man has access to your destiny. No man has access. In fact, if anybody sees your destiny, they can only be jealous, but they can do nothing about it. Because no man can pluck them out of my hands. Hallelujah. Are we still here? So, you can't be destroyed. That's the next thing we find as a benefit, number two. I'm talking of reward. You hear my voice? I give you eternal life. Life that is within you, not outside of you. Amen. Number two, reward. You can't be destroyed. He said, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. No man. If anybody wants to contend with you, he must first contend with Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen to that? You got to understand that. So you live your life freely, people. If anybody wants to contend with you, if anybody wants to destroy you, if anybody thinks about, know what that scripture said, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. He said, if any man should gather together, for that sake, they shall fall. Hallelujah. So, if you come to that place where you are truly hearing the voice of God, knowing who Jesus is, you have the eternal life, I am saying you can't be destroyed. Hallelujah. And I want to add another one. That one will also shock you. You can backslide. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can backslide. Where are you backsliding to? You can backslide. Listen, now the prodigal son left the house, that didn't mean he was no longer a son. Do you understand me? He was a son even when he was feeding pigs, he was still a son. Hallelujah. If God gives you his life, you can backslide. Take it to the bank, I tell you that. Even if you leave the faith, you know that you are still a child of God. Your conscience will tell you are a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. All right. So, I'll show you this in relation to our time is almost gone again. Go with me to Genesis 17 verse 21. I want to show you something here, which is very important. Some of the promises that God has made to you, you should be able to stay put and say, God has said it. That's why you need to hear the voice. Genesis 21. So, 17:21, and then we're going to read 21 verse number 2. God was speaking to Abraham, and he said, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at a set time next year. Hallelujah. If you take time to study scripture, you find that the promise of Isaac to Sarah, to Abraham, 225 years before it came to pass. I did a study the last time. I think I shared that with you. I shared that with my wife. She asked a question. You find that Ishmael was 14 years older than Isaac. Is that okay? But the first promise of Isaac was given to Abraham when he was 75 years old. So it took 25 years for the promise to come to pass. So the question is, how patient are you to wait for the promises of God? Hallelujah. You think God just says the thing now, instantly it comes. You know, we used to have one man in this community some time ago, Ozigbozigbo pastor. How many of you know about that man? He was around DSC. Ozigbozigbo, you heard about him? On television, right? Yeah. Ozigbozigbo, that's, no. It has to happen. You understand? That is not the way God works. God gave promise to Abraham, 75 years old. It came to pass when he was 100 years old. That's 25. Before the promise came to pass, he patiently waited. The Bible says he staggered not at the promises of God. Did you get that? So, for here the Bible says, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year. What I want you to pick from that passage was set time. By implication, none of his word will fall to the ground. If he says a thing now, wait for it patiently. Hallelujah. So go to Genesis 21, verse number 2. Hallelujah. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God has spoken to him. Not any other time. Set time. This is why we miss it in God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, I have my respect for the Odios family. You know why? You know the distance they are. They don't have mobility. And they thought to change fellowship. But God told them, no, go back there. I don't know if you understand that. It will only take the grace of God and somebody who truly wants to follow God to be able to obey that kind of instruction. Considering the inconveniences, and now again that things have come this high, but they are still in fellowship. It's not everybody that can do that. People have enough reason to stop being in fellowship. Question is, why would God want them to be here? He knows. I don't know. After all, God is worship everywhere. Yes, sir. But God said, you go back there. So ask God why he asked them to come back here. But I want to let you know, whatever reason God has in mind, he's saying, come back here, you're going to get it. In the name of Jesus Christ. It will come. At the set time, There is a time for everything that God has in mind for each and every one of us. That's what we don't know. The set time. Hallelujah. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 3. Habakkuk 2, verse number 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. What did I say? Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. The vision, the wall, the promise, wait for it. It's for an appointed time. And so when it was the set time, as God has spoken for Isaac to be brought forth, the womb of Sarah opened up. At 9 years old, woman gave birth. It was a set time of the Lord. It was an appointed time of the Lord. It was a vision that they have to wait for. It may delay. Promise to Abraham was 25 years delayed, but he waited for it. But the vision spoke. The voice spoke. Life came at the end of the day. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? You will get your Isaac. Wait for it. It will only take time, but your Isaac will come. Are you listening to me? There is no question of doubting or getting confused about your life. You can't be confused once you are hearing the voice of God. There's no confusion with you. Stay on knowing who He is, who has called you to Himself. Hallelujah. Let me round up here by speaking about a little bit about some of the things that I've experienced, which you know. Revelation 10, look at verse number 10 and 11. Hallelujah. I'll take it up from here next week, but let me show you this. The first time God gave me this scripture was in the year 1988. On the 6th of June, 1988, God woke me up and gave me this scripture. 10 and 11. And it says, I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Look at the next thing. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. 6th of June, 1988. Hallelujah. The second time he came to me was 30th of October, 2016. The Lord reminded me of that promise he gave to me in 1988. And then 1988, I was still teaching. I was not a pastor. But that's what God gave to me in 1988. And if you take that to this hour, that's about 35 years. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Are we here? Now, the first time I stepped out to the nations, remember, 2008. So 1988, about 2008, I'll give you about 15 years for the promise that God made to begin to come to manifestation. The life is within. If you can hear His voice, patient for Him. You will come to the place of fulfillment. Hallelujah. And everything spoken here from verse 10 and 11, I've experienced. When he said, I ate the book, the little book speaks of revelation of the word of God. When he said, it was sweet in my mouth, I enjoyed the revelation that God gives to me. But when he said, it is bitter in my womb, persecution that comes because of the revelation that God gives to you. These are the process. So it's not a joy to say, oh, I'm called of God and give me a revelation. No, you should be prepared for the persecution that will come. That is the bitterness that comes. How many of you understand? The Bible will get out to Mary, say, a sword shall pierce through thy soul. Why? Because she's going to give back to the word of God, which is Jesus Christ. A sword shall pierce through thy soul. How did the sword come through the soul? When Jesus was killed. Remember that. You start feeling the pains. But she was a vessel to bear the Savior of the world. But she felt the pains when that precious seed of hers was what? Was killed. The sword pierced through her soul. So here the scripture says, take that little book, eat it, sweet in my mouth. When I speak of the thing God is saying to me, beautiful, exciting. But the persecution that followed it, you know, all of you knows here. And that's the thing. But what am I trying to say? The life is where? It's within. Hearing the voice, there's only the fulfillment of a promise that God made. And he said, you're going to speak to tongues, to nations, to tribes, whatever the case. And you know, that has started happening all the way back in 2008, when the first time I stepped out of this country, 2005, when I stepped out of this country. Start speaking the word. That's the word given far back where? 1988, when some of you were not yet born. How many of you were born in 1988? Praise the living God. Are you following what I'm talking about? This is how to walk with God. Stay with God. Hallelujah. I said, nothing shall be able to pluck you out of his hand. I told you that the last time. Sometimes when I get into a situation like the one I was describing, terrible times, sickness, whatever, anything comes around me, I go back to the word. That's not what you told me. You told me you're going to speak to king. You told me you're going to speak to nation. You told me by me shall your day be multiplied. By me shall your years be increased. 1999. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 11. You said that to me. What is that I'm experiencing? Those are my prayers. I don't pray anything more than that. I just remind God. What did Hezekiah tell God? Okay, yes, I agree. I'm going to die. But don't forget the things I've done. Remind God some of the things he has told you. Hallelujah. Strength come back to you. Man, the word of life is in your mouth. You are not going to die like a chicken. You're going to live. Hallelujah. Because the man that has pulled you to himself is giving to you what? Eternal life. And no man is able to pluck you out of their hand. Stand up, somebody. No man is able. Hallelujah. I just need you to talk to God at this moment. All your fears, I want them destroyed. All your fears, fear in your marriage, fear in your business, I need them destroyed. Fear about your calling, I want them destroyed at this moment. I just need you to talk to God.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org. God bless you.